I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. Happy Friday. Joe Beamer with you for the next hour. Brian off today. He'll be back on Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday morning. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? Yes, it has. It's going to be an interesting weekend. We got the Bills on Sunday. They have not won in Indianapolis since 1998. Can you believe that? I was about to say 18 years. That's more than 18 years. Doug Flutie beating this rookie quarterback, Peyton Manning. Don't know if you ever heard of him. So the Bills looking to break the streak and finally win in Indianapolis. And if you look over the last two decades, now obviously the Bills did not have great teams in the 2000s. The Colts have kind of owned the Bills, right? Minus the overtime win with Rex Ryan, the playoff win, and the snow game that actually turned out to be very important in getting the Bills into the playoffs in 2017. Minus that, the Colts have owned the Buffalo Bills, including 2021, when they blew them out of the water here at Highmark Stadium. So, good luck to the Bills. You know, everyone's looking at that game next week. The Chiefs at home, the 425 CBS game. But you gotta get there and not trip up against Joe Flacco and the Indianapolis Colts. I know a lot of people going out there. It's a cheap trip, let me tell you. And it's a great city, fun time. So to everyone that's getting in the car and driving out to Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, have fun, enjoy it, and hopefully bring back a win. And if not, don't go to another game this year. No, I'm just kidding, of course. Obviously, there is still a lot of talk about what happened on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. And if you're wondering, Joe, what happened on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I haven't heard, the election. And you heard Brian and I talk about yesterday, did Donald Trump win or did Kamala Harris lose? And I think there are points to be made on both. I think the Democrats, and you're seeing this. It is very interesting. After all this, the Democrats are finally doing some soul searching. We've seen this before, right? It happens after anyone loses an election this bad. I mean, the Democrats lost the popular vote, the Electoral College, the Senate, and most likely the House. They need two more seats to claim the House again. So you've got all this, and you've got people on CNN. I've been a big fan of CNN. I know some people go to MSNBC to get the meltdowns. I can't bring myself there just yet. I've seen the clips, but CNN's where I've had my eyes on the last day. And you've heard from people on CNN saying, you know, Democrat or Republican, you know, independent. Sorry. I wanted to make sure I said everyone before I said what I meant. You know, independents don't want to be talked down to. They don't want to hear from, quote, the smartest person in the room. This is from a liberal leaning person on X, and I will read you. Our side lost because of the intolerance of the tolerant left. If you don't see that, then we will keep losing. People didn't vote for Trump. They voted against you. They voted against your, if you don't agree with me, then you're my enemy mentality. They voted against your need to have an echo chamber or risk being canceled. They voted against being attacked for a difference of opinion. They voted against being called pedos and racists and homophobes and Nazis simply for disagreeing with you. They voted for the right to keep you out of their kids' decisions. They voted against having to walk on eggshells for fear of offending someone. She finishes off by saying, I don't care who I tick off by saying this, step out of the tunnel vision and have a civil conversation with folks and take responsibility for your part in pushing people who are on the fence to vote against you. Now, this woman on social media is exactly right. Now, obviously, this is coming from the perspective of someone on the political right, right? So take what I say with that grain of salt. There's a little bias in this. But it's so interesting to me. It took Donald Trump winning the popular vote, winning the Senate, most likely winning the House, for some on the left to see just how extreme the left went, or the left is. You know, this woke ideology, there are people, believe me, I know people who cannot stand Donald Trump. They can't stand him. The thought of another term does not make them feel as good as it may make you and I feel. And they still voted for him because they're sick of the BS on the political left. Now, obviously, the economy also plays into this, right? No one wants to be told how great the economy is when they're going to the grocery store and spending $50, $60 more on their family's groceries. When everyone's feeling broker than they were 4 years ago. So obviously that played into it as well. But all this stuff that's been listed, and you're seeing it play out. Let me bring you another example. And by the way, I'd like to hear your thoughts. 803-0930, *930. Any Democrats out there that are listening to this and going, yeah, that's exactly right. Independents who voted for Trump because they are pushed away by all of this. But it's fair to say that Democrats are not taking the loss well. And you look no further than this nice compilation of posts put together on social media. Starting with one, ended a 26-year friendship and marriage this year. All the comments, proud of you. That's not an easy decision. I respect you. Another one. And these are the same people that say Donald Trump is the divisive one, right? They're the ones that are going to tell you that Trump is divisive. Here's another one. This person ended a 10-year friendship and removed a bridesmaid. Proud of you. This is what's needed. Keep on going. I ended a 2-year relationship last night. The comment, I am so proud of you for sticking up for you. You are so talented and beautiful. Another person, after Trump, when I ended my 7-year marriage, finding out he voted for Trump. I mean, really? And you're going to call Republicans divisive? You're going to call Trump divisive? And you're seeing this play out on social media. I saw someone yesterday unfollowing anyone who voted for Trump. That's the kind of country you want to live in? That's the world you want to live in? That you're so weak, you can't sign on to social media and see a difference of opinion? That you can't hang out with someone who might have voted different than you? To me, that's just absolutely crazy. It is. I mean, and I think this is a result of just this echo chamber. So many people, and you look on election night, the people on the political left who were shocked, oh my gosh, how could he win the popular vote? Well, because there are more people than the people that you follow on social media. There's other people out there that aren't making TikToks nonstop. And it's just so interesting to see this all play out now. And it's interesting to see in real life. People just, and it also begs the question, well, okay, so if Kamala Harris had won, you would expect your friend or significant other to keep talking to you, but now because your person didn't win, you're going to throw a pity party? It's really pathetic. And again, it's the same people who want to talk to you like they're better than, right? They look down on you. They talk down to you. That's what people were voting against. Yes, I think the economy and immigration were a big number one and two. But you want to know something that got some of the people on the fence, especially in swing states, over that line? You want to know why New York wasn't the blowout that it has been? Why California added more red counties? Why Trump gained in almost every county in America? You want to know why? Because people are being are sick of being told that they're wrong all the time. People are sick of going to work, of going to social settings, and having to be careful what they say. Oh my gosh, I might offend somebody. I believe most people in America want to be able to have their opinions, express their opinions, and not risk being canceled, not risk losing friends and family because they have a difference of opinion, because their life is different. Yes, I have family who voted for Kamala Harris. Why? Well, the issues in the economy don't affect them like they affect me. Right? That's a big deal of it. If I look at my friends and family who voted for Kamala Harris, well, obviously they're not struggling from the economy. Or yes, you have some who it's a feel-good vote because orange man bad, and they believe the crap that the media has been giving them for 8 years. Be interesting to see the media explain how Donald Trump, you know, he's anti-women, according to Governor Kathy Hochul. Love to have her on the show. Governor Kathy Hochul says that anyone who votes for Trump and Trump himself are anti-women. He just appointed the first ever woman chief of staff. Now, how's Kathy Hochul going to explain that? And yes, people are sick of being called garbage, being called un-American. The governor of New York telling people they're un-American if they vote for Trump and Trump and Republican candidates. That's what people are sick of. And it's amazing to me that, you know, you're supposed to be, these Democrat voters are supposed to be so smart. They're the first to tell you they're the smartest in the room. Yet, they can't read the room. There's a big difference between being book smart and having the ability to read the room, having the ability to be social. And you're seeing it play out now. And I mean, the meltdowns don't just happen on social media. Late night television. I used to be the biggest fan of late night television. I loved Letterman. I would watch Leno. Jimmy Kimmel used to be on something called The Man Show with Adam Carolla. That show was hilarious. And now you watch these late night shows. I mean, Conan gets an honorable mention. Craig Ferguson, who I thought we were supposed to interview and then we didn't. I mean, these were funny late night shows, right? Even Craig Kilborn, who wasn't on the Late Late Show for long, he was funny. But now, did you see any of the clips from the late night shows? Jimmy Kimmel's crying in his monologue. He's crying because Donald Trump won. Then you've got someone from CBS News. And I'd love to know what happens in these meetings, right? When you see that the trust in the mainstream media is lower and lower every day. And then on Stephen Colbert's show, I mean, he has completely ruined David Letterman's show. You have a news guy on there crying about how he's going to explain to his son that Donald Trump won. And then I'm supposed to believe that I'm going to turn on CBS News when I have Nora O'Donnell telling Major Garrett to not flip that state until it's official. We don't want to see that. And this guy, whose name he's not important enough to remember because who's watching CBS News, he's crying with Stephen Colbert about... I'm supposed to believe that at 6:30 I'm going to get fair news coverage of what just happened? I'm supposed to get fair... So for the next 4 years, CBS wants me to believe I'm going to get fair news coverage from them when Nora O'Donnell looks like she saw a ghost when Trump was announced the president, and then this guy's crying on Colbert's show, but they're news people? And it's unfortunate. I wish I could trust CBS News because locally, I like Channel 4's news. I think they do a great job locally. But that's why people have distrust. And then Seth Meyers, who, you know, forgot about him. He has a show too. I didn't see many clips of Jimmy Fallon, but, you know, I mean, Jimmy Fallon's still getting blamed for the first Trump term because he played with his hair. Again, you want to talk about ridiculous? Pathetic? I'll tell you, Jimmy Kimmel Crying's the funniest that show's ever been. So maybe they're onto something. 803-0930, star 930. What do you think? We're still in the, quote, fallout of this election. And you do have people who just can't, they can't deal. You've got people who are taking time off of work because their presidential candidate lost. Could you imagine going back 20 years? Maybe 20 years is too soon back. Can you imagine going back 30 years and going to work and saying, oh, where's Jimmy? Jimmy didn't come in today. He's getting over Bob Dole losing. I mean, could you imagine that? Everyone in the office would laugh. They would laugh. So guess what? I'm laughing. The guy's already been president. He's going to be president again. Get over it. Get back to work. And then you've got these colleges that are, and Brian and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. And I mean, what kind of precedent is this setting? Now, I was in college when Barack Obama won. I didn't vote for Barack Obama. And I will always say, I think President Obama was a great campaigner. He is fun to watch talk. I'm not going to lie. He seems like a fun guy to be around. I'm not a big fan of his presidency, but I can see why people voted for him. I can. People are going to attack me on the text board for saying that. I can understand why people voted for Barack Obama. Anyway, 2008, I didn't vote for him. But guess what? The next day I had an 8 o'clock class. I went to that class. Still went to school, still went to a party that weekend. Now you've got colleges that have canceled class. We talked about this yesterday. You've got Georgetown, and this is one example, I'm sure more schools than just Georgetown, that are offering crayons and cookies to cope. I'm sorry, like if I went to school, and Madai was a small school, RIP Madai. If I was still at Madai, and say they were still open, so we have to suspend disbelief here. And I went to the Sullivan Center, right? And you had that's where you ate downstairs, and then they had some offices upstairs, some student offices. And I saw in the Student Activity Center, college kids in their late teens and 20s with crayons and cookies to cope because Kamala Harris did not. I would have to point and laugh. I know, that's not fair, Joe. Have a heart, Joe. Have some sympathy, Joe. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then, what does that teach about the real world? I mean, I guess it's the same in the real world. You got people taking 2 days off of work because they just can't, they hashtag can't deal. That Donald Trump's the next president. Have we become that weak? I mean, really? Have we become that weak? I don't know. 803-0930, star 930. What's the most ridiculous reaction you've seen to the election results? And anyone who's an independent or someone who's on the political left, I know we have people from both sides of the aisle that listen to this show, to this station. I want to hear from you. Do you agree with Linda on social media, Linda on X, who put a list of reasons why people in the middle are being pushed to the right? If you're just joining the show late, I will tell you, here are a few of the things she said. She said people didn't vote for Trump. They voted against you. They voted against you. If you don't agree with me, you're the enemy mentality. Being in an echo chamber or being canceled. Walking on eggshells, being called every name in the book. My Democrat friends out there, does she have a point? And by the way, let me tell you, all my friends who voted for Kamala Harris, all my friends on the political left, they went to work the next day. Just if you were wondering. I personally don't know anyone who sat at home and played with crayons and ate cookies to cope with Trump being the next president. I do know people who put some, I don't know, kind of hurtful things on social media, but you know, I don't care. I don't take it personally. That's just you you know, that's just you. What's the expression? Blowing steam? Like I said, I had people who said me unfollowing everyone.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All my Trump supporters, well, they didn't unfollow me, so they must have. I went and checked. I go, oh, does that include me? Because I've been posting a lot since the election. 803-0930, star 930. What do you think of this? Like, aren't we better than this? Can't we just get along? And instead of getting mad at people who voted for Trump, wouldn't it be more productive to assess the issues within your own party? I don't know. That's me. 803-0930, star 930. It's B-Maz and Beamer, just Joe Beamer today on News Radio 930 WBEN. Happy Friday! It's the final segment you have to hear me this week. I'm sure you're happy about that. 803-0930, star 930. Just want to say shout out to everyone, all the great guests who joined us on our election night coverage. Always a pleasure working with David Bellavia, working with Tom Bowerly, Carl Calabrese, Jack O'Donnell, and all of our friends from ABC. Really appreciate it. It was a fun election night slash morning. And, you know, it's funny, though, when you have those nights that you just stay up all night. And then, you know, you get some sleep. I was explaining this. I was talking to Jim Ryan about this. So I get home around 4:30. But let's be honest, I scrolled social media to 5 because it was exciting to follow. And I slept to maybe like 10. And I feel today I'm still kind of trying to get my sleep back. Like, it's funny, when I was just 10 years younger, I'm in pretty good shape. I lost 43 pounds thanks to Awaken 180 weight loss. But when I was younger, I felt like I could do that and the turnaround was a lot quicker. It is funny. Like, I'm 36 and I feel like I've hit a wall where it's not as easy to recover from those all-nighters. I'm not saying it's like overly difficult. Like, I'm not struggling to stay up on the air right now, but you know that thing where you're awake and you're alert, you're awake, you're alert, but you still feel that something holding you back. Does that make any sense to anybody? So maybe a good sleep tonight, and we'll be back. We'll be back alert and focused. 803-0930, star 930. So two things I got for you. Number one, the reaction to the victory from the Democrats. You have a split party right now. You've got some Democrats saying, whoa, we're going far too left. We need to stop with the woke nonsense. We need to stop telling people that they're the enemy because they disagree with us. And then you've got the other side that says, no, it's all Joe Biden's fault. We have to keep going more left. And I mean, as you know, the Republican in me would say, yes, go with that strategy. Tell me how it works out. But you know, the person who wants two competent political parties or more, I mean, I personally think that we should have 4 or 5 political parties or no political parties at all. And you actually have to study the candidate. My question to independents and Democrats are, do you agree with this notion that the political left has to stop treating their enemy, stop treating those they disagree with like their enemies, get out of their echo chamber? And I say that for people on the right, too. Everyone needs to get out of their echo chamber. Turn on MSNBC. Turn on CNN. See what the other side's saying. The only reason to avoid, and I think this is why a lot of millennials and Gen Zers avoid the other opinion, is because the only reason to avoid an opposite opinion is because you don't feel confident enough in your opinion to back it up. And I 100% agree. I 100% believe that. The only reason to avoid, like for me, and you've heard it on the radio, I will talk to people on the political left all day. I'll do a show about talking to people on the political left. It doesn't bother me. I'm confident in what I believe. I'm willing to hear the other side. Again, what am I confident in if I don't know what the other side stands for? Which, by the way, That was part of Kamala Harris's problem. People didn't know what she stood for. They just knew she wasn't Donald Trump because that was her campaign. I'm not Trump. She probably should have made her campaign more, I'm not Joe Biden. But again, we will be spending days and weeks on that one. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, what's the best meltdown you've seen over the election? 803-0930, star 930. To me, it's the late night host. It will not get better than Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers. I mean, it's the one reason to watch them. I think their meltdowns were better than The View. And let me explain this to you. The reason their meltdowns were better than The View is The View was so expected. Everything that The View has had on the last 2 days has been absolutely expected. I could have told you they were going to come out wearing all black the day after he was elected. You knew that. Now, I'm not saying it was unexpected that Jimmy Kimmel was going to make a fool of himself, but just to the depth that the late night shows just in line with each other, crying over the election, the news guy crying on Colbert's couch over the election. Like, to me, you can put all the social media freakouts together, the 4B movement. I haven't gotten enough. Let me tell you, send me your best meltdown. But the late night shows, that ranks up there. And to me, that ranks up higher than The View. Now, the 4B movement. I'm not sure if any of you have heard what this 4B movement is. Have you seen your liberal friends talking about the 4B movement? Well, I'm here to tell you, and I want to thank our friends over at News Nation for this article, because they're the ones that brought it to my my attention. The 4B is a protest movement that boycotts men. Yes. And now here in America, you've got some women saying they're going to participate in the 4B movement. What that means? Well, that means that for 4 years, these women aren't going to get married. They're not going to give birth. They're not going to date women. And they're not going to date men. And they're not going to have sex. All right. Enjoy your 4 years. That's the 4B movement. And the funny thing is that people will post this on their social media page. Like, just so you know, I'm not going to have sex with any men for 4 years. Okay? Random person who popped up on my Twitter page. I mean, could you? And again, like, I think this is something we have to look at. Could you imagine telling people that? I mean, putting that on social media is like walking into the office break room and saying, how's everyone doing? Just so you know, I'm not going to have sex for 4 years. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And again, fine, if that's your protest, I'm a married man. I don't care. I don't care. You know, by the way, you talk about, and that was one of the campaign commercials about Republicans wanting to be in your bedroom, but you're the one who wants to offer up all this information. Believe me, no one asked, and no one cares. But this is the protest movement. Like, do people think crying about it, posting videos of you yelling on TikTok, going for the 4B movement, do you really think this is going to, like, if anything, those swing voters, those independent voters are going to see this reaction and go, yeah, you know what, we made the right decision. We made the right decision. I think that's all it's going to do is just further confirm. And obviously, in reality, to further confirm will be the success of the next 4 years, right? I mean, that's on Trump. That's on the Senate and the House. And honestly, if we want to get into that conversation, you know, Trump started in 2016 with the Senate and the House and he didn't do much with it. Now he has the Senate and the House again, and hopefully he's learned from his first 2 years. So that'll be interesting to see how that breaks down. Again, the House has not officially been called, just I don't want you to think, but it's looking good. Last time I checked, Polymarket had at a 97% chance that Republicans will take the House. And, you know, people laughed at me for referencing Polymarket all the time on Hardline and when we would do our election coverage. Polymarket was almost perfect on everything. Right? I believe they had one of the swing states wrong. They had Kamala Harris winning one of the swing states, and they were wrong about that. But they were right about almost everything else. So I will continue to use them until they're wrong about something big. That's how I use my sources. 803-0930, star 930 if you want to get in on the conversation. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone put the 4B movement, BMAZ, Beamer, Bowerly, Bellavia. I like that. Can we make that a promo? Text or we might steal your line as a promo. On the text board as well. I'm a Democrat. My best friend of 43 years, who is a Republican, treated me like the enemy when Joe Biden won the presidency. I told him to knock off the nonsense. I am not the enemy. I continue to feel that he's my best friend and will always, no matter what. Yeah, I mean, Texter has a point, right? This does go for both sides. We're currently seeing it on the political left, so it's easy to point out. But yeah, that goes for people on the right, too. Like, I've never viewed my friends as the enemy because they disagree with me. I think they're ill-informed. I think they fall for a lot of buzzwords and one-liners that they see in the media that they follow. Now, the media they follow is probably not cable news or anything, but, you know, in podcasts, on social media, they fall for that. And that's fine. But again, I've always said, when you take in your news, we are in a climate now where you can take your news from WBEN and know it's fair and balanced, but we are not in a climate where you can just read the Buffalo News and think you're getting the news, right? Number one, you're getting yesterday's news. But number two, there is a bias in almost everything now. If the first four Trump years didn't prove anything, except for we are getting bias in almost every news that's delivered to us. And I think that's just something we have to come to reality with. And that's why I've always said, if you're going to try to confirm a story, you know, it'd be best to run it by, if Fox News is saying it, we'll see if CNN's saying the same thing, right? Or go on the AP. Because, you know, the AP and CNN, let's be honest, they lean to the left and Fox leans to the right. If they're all three saying the same thing, it's probably true. Right? Or run the Washington Post by the Wall Street Journal. Or the USA Today. We'll compare that with Fox News' website or News Nation. My rule is, if three outlets that don't usually align are saying the same thing, I can probably go and say, hey, I'm pretty confident that's true. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. It also gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone said, Joe, Harris just wasn't a good candidate, and the voters saw that. Yeah, I think that's true. Like, I think Biden brought down whoever was going to run, right? And, you know, Scott Jennings has a great way to... Scott Jennings has a great way with words, and I kind of wish he would be Trump's press secretary. I think he'd be awesome. But Scott Jennings said it perfectly, right? You know, everyone celebrated Joe Biden because he ended Trumpism, he ended MAGA. But in reality, all Joe Biden did was make Donald Trump more popular, and he's made the MAGA movement stronger than it's ever been. I mean, really, if you think of it, if Joe Biden, and by the way, was Joe Biden not the happiest person at the White House yesterday? Did you see that? He was grinning from ear to ear. I've not seen Joe Biden that happy since he's been in the White House. I think he's the happiest person in the Democratic Party today. But Joe Biden temporarily ended Trumpism, but really he made Donald Trump is more popular today than he ever was when president. Now, that's true for George Bush, except George Bush did have the bump. Obviously, after 9/11, the country came together. So a lot of former presidents get more popular when they're out of office. And I think Trump had the benefit of that alone, right? He's out of the White House. Joe Biden's doing an awful job. But Joe Biden played a lot into why Donald Trump is so popular and why Republicans are so popular. And I think Brian put it perfectly yesterday when he said Democrats got pretty cocky after 2022. And Joe Biden goes, well, look at this. We didn't get a red wave. I'm going to run for re-election. Now, a lot of fingers will be pointed at Joe Biden. But I think you know, if you're a Democrat today, you're not feeling great about Kamala Harris. She never separated herself from the Biden administration when the Biden administration was very unpopular. You know, I keep asking myself, why election night was I not as surprised as 2016? 2016, I thought Donald Trump had no chance. Tuesday, I was preparing myself for a Harris victory. I was preparing myself for a Harris victory. I was like, all right, we're going to have the trolls call in and you know, try to get their point across, which is fine. You don't have to be a troll to have a separate opinion, but you know how people do. They'll do the drive-by call. David dealt with one of these. I think it was last week or the week before. Someone called in, made a point, hung up, didn't want to have a conversation. And if Harris had won, we'd probably have a lot of drive-by calls. And again, people want to get their opinion across, but, you know, hang on for a conversation. And, you know, I'm telling myself that I'm surprised, but I think the writing was on the wall. I think most of us knew that if the Trump supporters go out and vote, he was going to win. And it was very, I didn't think it was going to be that decisive, I'll tell you that. But there will be the autopsy of the Harris campaign. And I think they're going to find out that Joe Biden brought them down. It wasn't that Joe Biden dropped out when he dropped out. Yeah, that hurt. But anyone associated with that administration was not going to have an easy time winning, I guess I should say. And the positive for both major political parties is that I don't think you will ever see a major political party try to insert a candidate again. Because if Kamala Harris had won, you would have had the, at least the Democrats say, well, why do we need a primary? The fat elites at the top can just pick the person and the followers will follow. And I don't think they'll ever do that again. Unless it's absolutely necessary, which it wasn't this time. They could have had some kind of open primary, some kind of decision voiced by their voters, by their party members. But it's going to be 4 years of Trump. 74 days away till he takes office. He'll have the Senate. It looks like he'll have the House. And I've got to say, it's been an absolute privilege and pleasure to be covering the election this week. Election night coverage was so much fun. And really, really had a great time. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. And have enjoyed being able to talk about it these last few days as well. And I'm sure, you know, the next few weeks we'll be breaking it down and giving our thoughts on how things are going. Because, you know, we're going to have news every day. Trump's going to be building his cabinet. And it will be a little different than the cabinet he had in 2016. By the way, Grover Cleveland had a different vice president when he won a second time and a different cabinet. My big question is, will Trump have a second portrait? Cleveland didn't, but you could argue that was the technology of the time. Will Trump now have two portraits throughout the White House? He will have two spots. You know, remember in elementary school, above the chalkboard, you had the list of presidents? There will be two Trumps on that, right? If we're going to keep on going in order, there will be two Trumps. So I know for a lot of people that might be difficult to hang that banner. But you got to teach the kids, the presidents of the United States. Come on. Hey, hope you have a great weekend. It's, again, it's been a really fun week, and I've had a lot of fun here, a lot of fun with the election coverage as well. Hope you have a great weekend. Go Bills. They are in Indianapolis looking for their first win in Indy since 98. Doug Flutie was the quarterback the last time the Bills were able to pull off a win in Indianapolis. Let's beat Joe Flacco. As elite as Joe Flacco is, let's make sure he's not too elite on Sunday. So if you're going out to the game, drive safe, have fun, bring back a win. Go Hokies. They got Clemson this weekend. At the beginning of the year, it looked like it was going to be a huge game, but the Hokies have kind of fallen off. Clemson lost big last weekend, so it's not the big game that we thought it was going to be. But still, hopefully Virginia Tech can pull off a win. It would still be fun. Clemson is still ranked. So it'd be nice to have a ranked victory and not another ranked loss this season. And I'll be back here Monday with Brian. Brian will be with me too, B-Maz and Beamer, on News Radio 930 WBEN. Stay tuned. Reese on the radio is in for David Bellavia. Hey, by the way, if you have a long weekend, enjoy the day off. Enjoy the long weekend. Just remember Monday to Monday and every day. Be thankful for those who serve this country, because without them, we would not have the freedoms that we have today. So an early happy Veterans Day to all of those who have served and who are serving this great country. It is because of you that I get to talk like an idiot on the radio every day, and I could not be more thankful. God love you. God bless America. Talk to you Monday on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.